Yes.
Our reading this evening is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. The Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. I'd like to talk tonight about the key to fruitfulness. What is the key to fruitfulness in our readings today? And I'm not going to go through the whole introduction we had this morning, but next slide, please, Wayne. But we have this parable of the sower. But the sower is not really a great farmer. We have the grain picture. When a farmer in the times of Jesus had grain to sow, that was precious indeed. It was your family's living. So when you collected your grain for a season, first person to get their teeth in, as is still the case today, is the taxman. You've got a whole big Roman Empire to support, so first thing that happens as soon as you produce is someone's going to grab that away. But then you put away the grain. And do you choose the grain from the worst part of your patch or the sickliest grain? You choose the very best grain, and if you're really clever, you trade it with your neighbours for their best grain, so that you have your stock. That is your future. They would seal that away and put it on a shelf, and that would be kept safe. And then for the rest, two-thirds of the year, you're eating or you're selling what's left over. That is your family's resource. You're two-thirds of the way through the year. It could well be that your crop that you're planting is of a similar magnitude to what you have left to feed your family until the next harvest. Those grains are not something you just go and toss them anywhere. They are precious. They are your future. Yet we have Jesus describing God with God's word. in this ridiculously wasteful fashion. And it's like that with God's love, isn't it? The good news of God and God's love is given so freely, but it isn't always taken up, is it? But that being said, there are some things we can take out of this to say, how can we allow God's word to dwell in, how can we assist God's word to dwell in us so that we may be fruitful and that fruit may be God's work for our lives, our family, our community. And there's some things we can take out of this parable. Can I have the next slide, please? Oh, no, there we go. The first category of issue is the grains that fall on the road. Now, there's still some debate over the biblical, with the biblical scholars over whether the translation there is actually Jesus' original words or was added to help the readers of the gospel. Either way, I think it's an ancient tradition and I'm going to treat it as the translation we'll use today. The grains that land on the path. There are some things we just don't understand. In fact, this morning I had the Romans reading read, and it was a bit like when someone read Romans here last time. What on earth is that on about? Do not be afraid to ask. You may be at risk of making my whole week if you ask me to help explain a Bible passage. I put a lot of time and effort learning to do that. Don't be afraid to ask, but there's many other things, isn't there? It is so easy for us to rationalise away and say that word doesn't apply to us or not in this situation. Sometimes we're just not ready to receive the particular wisdom or the particular place for that passage. And that's sometimes when we need, next slide, God to do this in our life. Sometimes, and people who read the Bible over years and years often say to me, isn't it great when you come back to the passage and you just get something different out of it? We come back to the same passages on a three-yearly cycle and somehow God reveals something new. Sometimes we need God to break open our hearts in new ways so that we can receive the messages God has for us. That's not an easy process, is it? That's the hard thing of life experience, more often than not. Okay, the next slide. The next one is the ground that comes on the shallow soil. How many of you know that person who every time there's a new idea or a new fad goes, count me in? And as soon as that doesn't work or it gets a bit hard, what do they do? There's another new fad over here I'm going to chase. We're at risk of doing that with the gospel, aren't we? We're at risk of doing that with what God has to say to us. And one of the key messages I take out of this is that the word of God takes time. It takes time for us to allow that word to embed in us. Some of our people do with love to the world. Some people like to read and prepare before they come here by reading our Bible readings. Now I generally follow the lectionary. There's some people who actually ask me to email them what readings we're doing this week. That's one way we can prepare. The morning service, the 8 o'clock service, has a group of people who go and have coffee afterwards. Imagine if that conversation was what has God had to say to us today. Doesn't have to be after tonight. I reckon you might all want to be going home and having some dinner by then. But, or other people take notes. There's a whole heap of ways we can allow God's word to permeate into our lives. There's the preparation and the watering. Actually, I like what Mike Smith is doing. He's got a group that he calls at the Church of Christ that he calls the 2% Club. And they're people who get together and they talk about their lives and they talk about how they're going with God and they read the Bible and they pray together. And then at the end of it all, they say, what are you going to do to make your life, make what you've been talking about 2% better? Not all better, but how are you going to take a step towards being a better person next week than you were last week? And you know what the first question is the next week is, how did you go with that? It's not that new a tradition, actually. That's pretty well a Wesleyan Methodist discipleship group described in short. Really powerful. But what are the things? And I think one of the powerful things there is having people to hold you accountable. Having people around you. That's what great thing in community, isn't it? That you've got your people. Yes, we need people to lift us up, but occasionally we need people to give us a bit of a prod. Sorry to anyone who's listening on the video there. I shouldn't laugh as much as I do. And then we have the next, the thorns. Again, not really great agriculture if you're throwing into a weed patch. But this is a bit of what's been talking about in our Romans reading. In our Romans reading where Paul's been wrestling with this part of our human nature where we want to do what we know is right, but we know the things that we don't want to do and then we do them. Paul says that through Jesus Christ we've been released from the power of sin. But that means we just get the choice of which way we're going to go. So again, that's where it's great to have a community around us, isn't it? And it's great to have a community that keeps giving us the hope to go on, even when times seem hard. And one of the things with our congregational merger, with our first pulpit swap happening next week, I think this is topical. It is really easy for us to see that, yes, we are making losses. And that is a concern. But if we allow that to fragment us and allow each one of our little worship communities to put its feet down and say, we're going to preserve ourselves, we're guaranteed to keep going on the path we're on. Because on another objective reality, we're actually 350 disciples with 5 properties. How many churches would kill for that? That's the reality, that we have significant resources and we have lots of people. It's just we're trying to do too much in too many places at the moment. So what are we going to do about that? That's not going to be an easy discussion, but if it starts with what we haven't got, we can name a million and one reasons why we haven't got what we need. We can name the weeds, but what we have got is Jesus Christ. And we also have a community of incredibly faithful people who are passionate about God. How do we build on that rather than sit and allow things to just keep going on? So that's the process we're going to be going on. So we're actually going to go, this worshipping community will be visited. You're not going to be left out of the discussion. But what are our priorities? What is this group for? What do we offer the world? And then how do we resource that with the resources we have? I think they're important discussions, so I commend them to you. But we can't afford to let the concerns of this world stop us from seeking God's word. And I think that's the first step, isn't it? We have to be prayerful. We have to keep resting on the word of God and wrestling together with the good news of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be the church here in the Redlands in 2023? I pray that we can have that discipline, that we may listen to God's voice and we may be... So what was the next one I had up there, Wayne? I was one of them. I wasn't in that photo, but that was in the 1970s. Cotton chippers. They're a job that's very thankfully extinct. One of three jobs I've had that no longer are done. And that's the one least missed. Packer boy at Woolworths is another one. But walking up and down cotton rows, chipping out the weeds in them, was not a fun job. But that's now the more modern technology that does it. How do we keep our eye, keep weeding out those things that distract us from God and keep our eyes on the good news? Really important for us as individuals in a community. Then finally, when we allow the Word of God to dwell richly in us, this passage says, and isn't it interesting the order? It's going to, one person has 100-fold, and others have 60, and others 30. Abundance. God promises us abundance. We pray for that abundance. We pray that we're faithful with the word that we're sent, with the love that we share and we celebrate at this table tonight, and pray that we may be a source of God's abundance for our world. And talking of such, we had a little bit of sowing. And there's one more slide before we get there, isn't there, Wayne? Back to the sower again. Here's the good news. Everything we receive from God is precious. As precious as that grain for the ancient farmer. But the good news is, if we miss this one, God's going to send more and more and more, because that's what God's like. God is the God of the umpteenth chance. And it's in that faith that we dare to follow, isn't it? We're going to get things wrong. I can guarantee it, because if we try something, guaranteed to get something wrong. That's just a law of the universe. We try not to make the same mistake twice, but if you don't make mistakes, you're not doing anything. But we do our best, and we pray to the God of the harvest for that needed life and fruitfulness for our community. And now we're going to have a little presentation, a few minutes, on the planting exercise that was done a couple of weeks ago with our day camp. The sound's not come through. I'm not going to try to sing it. Our God is a great big God. These photos were taken by Beth then. But again, in some ways, this really does reflect that generosity of the sower, doesn't it? Look at the amount of time and effort and energy that have been put in for... Beth said it's the same for 30 kids as it is for 120. But they still poured out with love. And was it 37, I think they said the numbers were this year? And what was really exciting in my conversations with Beth afterwards was she kept going, I ran into so-and-so who brought her kids along, and she said, I came to day camp And then Beth said at the end of the week, would you like to come along and help next year? Oh, yes. So you never know what fruit the seeds that this community has sowed are going to do for God. It may not necessarily be for us, but God promises to work with our offerings. And what a love offering this one was. Marshmallows. I did get out there for about half an hour one day. It was absolutely great. And of course, it's not just the people who are out there when the kids are there. There's a whole different team that sets up and gets all the equipment. And I'm looking at you there, John. Thank you for all your work too. So we pray that we may continue to sow seeds in hope, the seeds that we've been so abundantly given, and pray to God for the harvest. Amen.